This weekend starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Pushing for more political parties. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
A new advocacy group is calling for changes to the way elections work. Fix Our House says we're caught in a political doom loop.
Exhausted by high gas prices, hear how restaurants and retailers are trying to help.
The USFL returns this weekend. We'll tell you how to see the games and a rule change that's different from the NFL.
And with the work from home culture, many of us are seeing the end of office friendships.
Work friends improve our productivity. They improve our engagement. They improve workplace safety, meaning you make fewer mistakes because someone else has got your back. And they also improve retention because, hey, you don't want to leave the company because that means leaving your buddies, leaving your lunch mates, your drinking friends.
Rebecca Knight at Insider on how work friends are good for business. Well, a new advocacy group called Fix Our House argues that the only way to break America out of its political doom loop, where voters in each party see each other as enemies, is to change the way elections work, specifically elections to the House of Representatives. More from Jim Saxa, reporter at CQ Roll Call. Jim, who is this group?
Yeah, it's a relatively new group, and their goal is to convince lawmakers in D.C. that they should allow for a new electoral system in the House. So replace the elections that we all know, and maybe love, maybe hate, with proportional representation, which is what is used in a lot of countries, most of Europe, and that instead of just one district, one representative in the House, you would maybe vote for three or four or five from a district. So a state that has 10 representatives might have two districts where you elect five in each. And the idea there is it allows for more parties. And right now we have a two-party system, and that leads to a lot of deadlock, a lot of going back and forth, and not a lot of movement on a bunch of issues that most Americans seem to want to see happen, like, say, gun control.
Yeah.
And they think that, you know, if you had a more center-right party instead of just one right-wing party and a center-left party, they'd be able to collaborate on a bunch of stuff that people in the middle would agree with. That's the gist.
Be a lot of bargaining, right? You sometimes have to, I guess, lobby for your piece of legislation, one or two groups.
Yeah, exactly. You see this a lot in Europe. What they would sort of envision, you know, maybe instead of two parties, you have a four-party system. And maybe it's something like, or a five-party system, and maybe it's something like a Democratic Socialist of America form of party, and the Democrats are one party, and they work with the old Republicans on some, like, centrist things. Or maybe they work with the far right, the populist right, you know, let's call it, like, the Freedom Caucus, let's say they form a new party, on something like regulating big tech, because there's a lot of anger on the right and the far left and some in the middle with how companies like Facebook are operated. So the idea is that you'd be able to sort of break up this one side or the other two-party gridlock by having more wheeling and dealing, like we saw in earlier generations in Congress, where you had conservative Democrats and liberal Republicans making deals.
We're speaking with Jim Saxa, reporter at CQ Roll Call. His story is called Partisan Doom Loop. The answer is more parties, this group says. He focused on a group called Fix Our House. How receptive are members of Congress, say, to an idea like proportional representation?
Yeah, so they're not there yet, right? I think a lot of them sort of look at, abroad and see that there are some issues. For example, I talked to David Price, who is from a representative from North Carolina. He's also a political scientist himself, and he pointed at the Israeli Knesset and, said they have trouble with stability all the time. Weirdly enough, just yesterday, a member of the governing coalition left, and, there's more uncertainty there. But the goal of Fix Our House is not, to convince these guys today. It's to really sort of get the conversation going. I think what they hope to do in time, over a period of years, is start convincing people that this makes sense. One of the co-founders is a guy, Eli Zupnik, who before this was with a very similar name group, Fix Our Senate, that focused on getting rid of the filibuster. And his argument there is that while didn't get rid of the filibuster, he did, their group has managed to make that position of getting rid of the filibuster the party plank for the Democrats. And with the exception of only one or two members, really, in the Senate, the rest of Senate Democrats are on board.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Saxa, reporter at CQ Roll Call. Coming up next, digital bullying during divorce.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. The Associated Press says a growing number of people are digitally bullying their ex-partners during and after divorce. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook are weaponized directly against an estranged spouse as divorce proceedings progress. Kanye West has gone quiet on Instagram after weeks of ranting publicly about Kim Kardashian in the name of fatherhood, which many saw as bullying and intimidation. His targets included not only Ms. Kardashian, but also her boyfriend, Pete Davidson. In-depth analysis from Jennifer Hargrave, family attorney based in Dallas. Jennifer, what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, we have for a long time seen, I would say, bullying messages. I mean, there's nothing new there. I think what is new is all the different mediums that people have available to harass each other. Where it used to just be maybe text messages or emails or phone calls, of course, now there's social media and it's public for all to see. So as we have seen with Kanye.
Yeah. All right. So explain what he has been spotted doing, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think certainly the threatening messages, just the barrage of messages against Pete Davidson and, against Kim and all of that is, we've seen it on Instagram. And I'm trying to think of where I've seen it. I mean, I know there was like a video that he put out there and all kinds of drama. So I think every family lawyer was just sort of cringing. Thank God he's not my client.
Is he opening himself up to some sort of legal trouble, or is he has he not gone over a particular threshold?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good question. So I think it's really important for anyone out there who wants to threaten somebody, their soon to be ex, they need to know that can be illegal speech, and it won't necessarily be protected when it crosses that line. In Texas, so many of our counties, our courts have automatic restrictions that apply to every single family law case that gets filed in the court system that prohibits people from using vulgar language with each other, from threatening the other party, or, from intercepting messages and emails or electronic communication. So, there are definitely there are consequences in the family law arena and the civil courts. But, when you cross that line, there's also the potential for criminal threats for criminal charges to be brought.
We're speaking with Jennifer Hargrave, family attorney based in Dallas. She's also the founder of Hargrave Family Law. We're talking about digital bullying during divorce. All right, so if this is an issue for you, what do you do?
Yeah, that's the question, because a lot of times the people who are doing the harassing, right, they're trying to get attention. And so if you start giving them attention, you're sort of feeding the monster. And so sometimes the better strategy is just to sort of wait and cool off and see if it dies down. Obviously, if it's impacting your children, you know, if they're a witness to this, they're hearing this kind of stuff, they're in, you know, they're in the arena where this is happening, then, you know, you may want to bring an action in court. In our courts, you could bring an enforcement action to enforce the standing orders that are in place that prohibit this kind of behavior. You could also reach out to the police and, you know, file a police report and see if these the activity is rises to the level of something that's criminal and if they would press any charges. So, you know, but I think it's a really delicate balance, because once you start going down that road, you're kind of, things are going to escalate and ramp up. And, you know, it's just on a case by case basis. I think you really need to think about whether it is best to take action or whether it's best to kind of ride it out. Yeah. And you may want to be working with mental health professionals. The other big consequence is just the impact it's going to have on your custody case. I mean, I will tell you that judges do not look favorably upon this kind of behavior. Yeah. The mental health professionals, psychologists are usually brought in to do a custody evaluation, are going to be very concerned about this kind of behavior. And so likely there's going to be a lot of restrictions put around your time with the kids. So this is really not a smart move on Kanye's part, but, you know, it doesn't sound like he's acting in a rational way. So trying to reason with him probably isn't going to get him to stop.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer Hargrave, family attorney in Dallas. Coming up next, tax sites that want your data for more than just filing. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Glad you could be with us. TurboTax and H&R Block ask you to give up your basic federal privacy protections when you file your taxes with them. Turns out tax sites want your data for more than just filing. Can you get your data back? Here's this weekend's Jennifer Koschenka.
You may use TurboTax or H&R Block online to save money filing your taxes, but did you know that by clicking agree to some of their privacy prompts, you may be letting them use you? That's what Jeffrey Fowler of the Washington Post found out, and he's here now to explain. Jeffrey, how did your investigation start?
You know what? Like so many good investigative journalism projects, it started with a reader. A reader of the Washington Post was doing his taxes on H&R Block and saw a really curious message pop up after he'd already, you know, gone through the process of agreeing to the terms of service and privacy policy. Up popped this message that said, hey, will you give us extra access to your tax return? And he gave me a call and he's like, what is up with this? And then I started to investigate. And you know what? There's plenty of reason that he should have had a little pause there before he clicked agree.
So what does that mean?
What it means is one of the few areas that the United States actually has privacy laws are the ones that cover your taxes. By law, companies that help prepare taxes are not allowed to use the contents of your tax return for any other purpose other than making your tax return. However, if they get you to click agree on a special extra statement that says you'll give up those rights, then they can do what they want to with it. And it turns out that's what H&R Block is doing, and so is TurboTax, the biggest tax prep program in the U.S.
What do we think they're doing with that data?
A couple of different things. Both H&R Block and TurboTax want the contents of your tax return in order to market to you. Basically, it works kind of like Facebook. Facebook gathers up all this data about you and then shows you lots of ads for things. TurboTax, which is owned by a company called Intuit, wants to do the same thing. They will get all of this really valuable information about you from your tax return, and then on other Intuit websites or on email, they'll try to sell you financial services, loans, credit cards, you name it, that are specifically targeted to your financial situation. There's another thing they're doing as well. Over at H&R Block, they also ask you for permission to send the contents of your tax return overseas. They want to send it to two companies in the Philippines. Sending it overseas, again, would give up your federal privacy protections and also put you in, you know, less control if one of those companies in the Philippines actually had a data breach. They say they want to do that because they can serve you more quickly when they can, you know, outsource service to companies overseas. But you know, again, you're putting your data at risk when you do that.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Fowler of The Washington Post. Have people not noticed this before, or are we just clicking through it quickly and not paying attention?
I think you hit the nail on the head. We have become so used to this very broken model of privacy in the United States, where we're supposedly protected by these privacy policies, but nobody really reads them, and we just kind of click agree just to get them out of our face. In fact, yesterday, the new chair of the Federal Trade Commission, Lina Khan, gave a speech. It's the first time she's ever given a speech about privacy. And she agreed that this whole system is broken and that we need a whole different way to protect people's privacy in the U.S. that doesn't just rely on people reading these privacy policies. But until we get that, we're actually starting this new program here at The Post where we do deep dives on these privacy policies like this one. And, you know, I'm calling it Before You Click Agree. So we'll read them so maybe you don't have to.
That's Jeffrey Fowler, tech columnist at The Washington Post, with this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka. 30 minutes after the hour on This Weekend. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka coming up this half hour. The end of office friendships. Also, retailers and restaurants wooing consumers who feel pain at the pump. Plus, the latest movie drawing Hollywood's most loyal audience. And the return of the USFL. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, today, work friendships are an endangered species. With the rise of remote and hybrid work, only 40% of the workforce has returned to the office. What's that mean, since work friendships are considered good for business? We're joined by Rebecca Knight, senior correspondent at Insider. Rebecca, how are work friends good for biz?
Work friends improve our productivity, they improve our engagement, they improve workplace safety, meaning you make fewer mistakes because someone else has got your back, and they also improve retention because, hey, you don't want to leave the company because that means leaving your buddies, leaving your lunch mates, your drinking friends. So that is what shows, that's what's good for business about work friendships.
Wow. All right. So fast forward, here we are today. And it seems like, as you said in the story, some work friendships are an endangered species. What has happened?
Well, I mean, what's happened is this pandemic. And so it's really the fact that we're not going into work to the same extent that we used to. We're not going into the office. I have a lot of research that shows the return to office is just not happening. Even the people who are going back are there 2 or 3 days a week. It's nothing like the full time that we had to. And the fact that we're not in close proximity with our colleagues anymore, it's inarguable. We're not going to be forming the close bonds, the close friendships, the social connections that we once did in the office. Mm.
And so that could have, I guess, a bigger impact on younger workers more than any others, if I'm guessing.
Well, exactly. I mean, Gordon, I've already made some work friends. They're still my good friends to this day. I made them back when I was in my 20s, which was a while ago. But that is the real point. And the real interesting thing about this is that Gen Z, they're starting their careers and not going to the office with any regularity. My own company says, do what makes sense for you. We'd love to have you in the office. We've got plenty of snacks, but do what makes sense for you and for the work that you need to get done. So as a result, Gen Zers, and most of us, frankly, don't go to the office, certainly not the way we used to, but maybe, as I said, 2 or 3 days a week maximum. There are many weeks that people don't go at all. And so the fact that they're not chatting up people over lunch and going out for coffee with people and just, frankly, sitting in a cubicle next to the other person breathing the same air saying, hey, what's another word for assignment? I mean, that's sort of a journalistic question when you're just doing your work. But so they're not finding those bonds at work in the way that they used to.
We're speaking with Rebecca Knight, senior correspondent at Insider. Her story is called "The Office Friendship Is Dead." That's bad for all of us, especially our employers. Are we going to turn all of our young adults into social recluses? Like what happens?
Well, so this is the interesting thing. Gen Zers don't necessarily want to make friends at work. I cite a study in my piece done by Capterra that found that a mere 11% of Gen Z employees ranked relationships with coworkers as a top factor in job satisfaction, and just over half of remote employees said it's minimally or not at all important to have close social relationships at work.
Wow.
So people don't necessarily want to have friends at the office, and that's actually for all of us, not necessarily just Gen Z. But I think that in some ways, look, work friendships, they're great for business, but they also are good for us. They help us. They help us be healthier, happier. They help us derive greater life satisfaction, greater work satisfaction. And the fact is, work, for most of us, unless you have a trust fund, is just a fact of life. We're going to have to spend a lot of hours working. And if you can do it with a friend alongside of you, it just makes it a little better, a little more fun, let's face it. In terms of, is the next generation going to be social recluses? On the one side, you could say, well, the fact that they're not making friends at work, we are social creatures. We are wired to want to connect. So maybe they'll make them in other places. They'll get a dog and make friends at the dog park. They'll spend more time at their church or their synagogue. They'll do some community service. They'll stay closer to their old school friends or their childhood friends. So there are things that you could say could be healthy about this. Maybe they'll invest in time with their friends and family, too.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Rebecca. Rebecca Knight, senior correspondent at Insider. Coming up next, gas promotions galore.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Krispy Kreme, Bojangles, and Sam's Club are among the companies that are dangling gas-related discounts or perks to try to drive more foot traffic and sales as inflation weighs on consumers' wallets. A look at who's doing what from Melissa Repko, retail reporter at CNBC. Melissa, what's trending?
Restaurants and retailers recognize that gas prices are probably one of the most visible types of things that people are seeing in terms of inflation. These are prices that are on nearly every corner, and it's something that's very relatable, and it's an expense that consumers have a hard time getting out of. So it's something they can they look to try to connect with their customer.
All right. So Krispy Kreme, for example, what are they doing in some stores?
What they're doing is they are lowering the price of a dozen of glazed donuts, which is kind of the product that people associate their brand with, for Wednesdays for the next few weeks. So they are going to match the price, so it's the same price as the national average for a gallon of gas.
Take us through somebody like Sam's Club.
So with Sam's Club, they have long used lower prices of gas as a way to get members and to get them to renew. But during a time when gas prices are so high, of course, that membership perk is all the more enticing. And so both they and their competitor, BJ's Wholesale, are offering some added ways that people can lower the price per gallon. So if you have a Sam's Club card or a BJ's card, you can get some additional discounts. And then BJ's is also trying to encourage people to fill up their tanks and their fridges at the same time by offering them additional discounts if they spend $100 or more at its store.
How about a restaurant chain like Bojangles?
Yeah, with Bojangles, they're actually putting a gas gift card in people's family meals. So it's kind of a surprise for people who might just expect some chicken and biscuits and iced tea, and instead they're also getting this $10 off coupon.
Oh, how about that? We're speaking with Melissa Repko, retail reporter at CNBC. Her story is called Cheaper Donuts, Free Gas Cards, and More. Retailers and restaurants woo consumers who are feeling pain at the pump. There was also a mention in your piece about worries about the state of the consumer. What does that mean? What are we looking at?
So there's a lot of different factors going on. One of the big ones, of course, is inflation. So people are feeling the pinch as they pay more for groceries and gas and other types of things. But also there's some uncertainty around the consumer's mindset as they're seeing, you know, the war in Ukraine, for example, and what does that mean for people? And also, consumers may be thinking about other types of spending priorities as the world opens back up. So if people are weighing how to afford a summer vacation, for example, they may pull back in other areas.
Mm. You referenced Macy's on, I guess, a somewhat related note here. What's Macy's saying about competing for discretionary dollars now?
So Macy's was acknowledging on a recent call that it may be seeing shoppers make choices. So instead of spending on an outfit at Macy's, they may say, hey, I'm going to save some money and take my kids to Disney or a place like that. So there's some acknowledgement by retailers that this period of time they had a captive audience may be fading and they may have to be more competitive.
Wow. And then Giant Eagle grocery stores, how are they factoring in all this?
Yes, so they last week started reminding people about their loyalty program. Every time a customer checks out at the cashier, they're telling people, hey, sign up for our loyalty program, and included in that is a big gas perk. And in the first 90 days of signing up for the loyalty program, which is, of course, a way for the company to strengthen its relationship with the customer, they are offering 10 cents off per gallon for the first 90 days. So kind of a way to sweeten that loyalty program and collect a bunch of emails as well.
Wow. So at what point do some of these retailers say, I don't know, or begin to pull back? Like, is there a magic number of the average price of gas, you know, at $3.50? You know, do they say, okay, you know, that's enough of the gas gift cards and stuff?
That's a good question. And it's unclear if or when these promotions will end. I mean, for Krispy Kreme, for example, their promotions for the next 4 weeks, and with some of the warehouse clubs, they also have an expiration date to the specials. But I wouldn't be surprised if other retailers and restaurants do roll out similar promotions, because like I said, it's really a very visible sign of inflation. And as long as prices are elevated in other categories, people are going to be looking for ways to save.
Thanks, Melissa. Melissa Repko, retail reporter at CNBC. Coming up next, Hollywood's most loyal moviegoers. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Glad you could be with us. Sorry, ladies, your money is no good here, apparently. A new set of heroes is saving the day in Hollywood, and that's young men. Studios have resumed releasing big-budget films over the last year, and the ones that make the most money are those that draw out young men and teens. Hollywood reporter Eric Schwartzel at The Wall Street Journal has been looking at data, Eric, what are we learning?
We're learning a big takeaway of the post-COVID movie-going landscape is that young men are really the only demographic that we can count on to show up for releases time and time again. You know, obviously, Hollywood studios and theater chains really suffered during COVID and when COVID shut down auditoriums for months at a time. And as the studios have tried to get consumers back into the habit of movie going, they've been releasing all kinds of films. But the movies that are really performing, and I would say performing better than practically anything else, are those that are appealing to a specific demographic, which are teenage boys and young men under the age of 30. Women are not returning to the theater in the numbers they were prior to this, and older audiences, unsurprisingly, aren't as well.
What is it about the teens and the young adult males?
Well, you know, I think one thing is certainly this was a pre-pandemic phenomenon, which is that Hollywood's just making a lot more movies for them, right? There's a reason why we have so many superhero movies, so many action movies. These are the kinds of films that before COVID were drawing out these kinds of audiences. And I think post-COVID, what we've seen is that there's actually a little bit of psychology at work too, which is that this is a demographic most willing to venture back out into public and assume any risk there might be with going out in public, even as COVID cases decline.
We're speaking with Eric Schwartzel, Hollywood reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Morbius is the latest movie drawing Hollywood's most loyal audience, young men. So, I don't know, is the approach just too bad, ladies?
You know, unfortunately, I have to say, I mean, the good news is there are more movies being made now. Just because of the rise of streaming. And there is, I think, a marketplace that is looking more and more like there's something for everyone. But what I was very struck when I looked at the numbers because, you know, the movies like The Batman and Spider-Man, these are movies that are really making hundreds of millions of dollars at the box office. And you tend to think that when a movie hits that level of ticket sales, that they must be drawing in all kinds of audiences. And to some degree, that's true. But pretty consistently, these movies, The Batman, Spider-Man, Uncharted, they are drawing in, I think, something around 60% male audiences. And oftentimes, a third, a third of all ticket buyers are men under the age of 30. Mm. So really over-indexing relative to their population. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it will become a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I mean, if women start to think more and more that Hollywood isn't releasing movies in theaters for them, it's just going to lead them to look on streaming services more readily than they might have otherwise.
Also of note here, these are kind of big budget films. What happened to the small independent films? Where are they?
Well, I have to say, we can't blame COVID for that. Those were really going the way of extinction before this. And it really has a lot to do with the global marketplace and just how important it is to make movies that can sell tickets around the world.
That's Eric Schwartzel, Hollywood reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the return of the USFL. We'll finish with this. The nicknames are familiar to those with long memories, right? The New Jersey Generals, the Philadelphia Stars, the Tampa Bay Bandits. Well, so is the league name, the USFL. But its new leadership says that despite the nostalgic team and league names, this iteration of the USFL, which starts play this weekend, wants to distinguish itself from the league that operated for three seasons in the mid-80s. The New York Times has a primer. The USFL will play a 10-week, 40-game regular season that will run from April 16 through June 19. Despite the city-specific monikers of the eight teams, all regular season games will be played in one location, Birmingham, Alabama. Fox is an investor in this league, and games will be shown on various Fox and NBC networks and streaming platforms. Also, as other upstart leagues have done, the USFL will experiment with some rules. In addition, for example, to having the option of attempting a point after touchdown or a two-point conversion, teams can line up from the 10-yard line to go for 3 points. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.